We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refreshed is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for tuning in today to the Refresh radio broadcast. Thank you for all of the calls and the encouragement, you know, talking to people, and they say, hey, I listen to you on the radio, and that's good to hear. The other day I was in the doctor's office and just struck up a conversation with a person in there, and they said, well, what church do you pastor? And I told them, and I said, my boss goes to that church. And so it's encouraging to get out and meet people who are listening to the radio broadcast, who are part of the body of Christ. We want to thank you for being a part of it. Today we want to give a shout out to Jets Concrete. If you need any block or concrete work done, they've been here in Brevard County for quite some time, several decades, and do fine work. They've done fine work for us. And if you need any help, you can reach them at 536-5804. Again, that number is 536-5804. And ask for Greg and tell him you heard about him here on the Refresh radio broadcast. So, I wanted to give you just a little bit of an update. Last week, I received an email from the Save Ukraine Now push to help the refugees, and they said that the number of children refugees is now up to 1.7 million, million children, I believe it is. And so there is a serious need. They did put in the email that that the United Nations has actually come to them and asked if they could partner with the Save Ukraine Now churches. And our friend, our missionary, he said, well, y'all don't normally like to work with churches. And they said, but you have the best people and you have the best distribution system to meet all of this refugee crisis. And I think that is the way that it should be. I believe that the church is filled with the most loving, most caring people on the planet. And I believe that the church should also be filled with the most skilled people. I believe that the anointing of the Holy Ghost is not just something that is for our services, but I believe that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is to help us on our jobs, to do everything that we do to the glory of God. And so, I will be giving you an update on Friday's broadcast to tell you just exactly how many bags we were able to fill. It takes about 400 bags to fill a container, and I believe the cost is something like $5,000 to ship. No, or $5,000 or $10,000. I don't remember right off the top of my head now, but it's several thousand dollars to help ship the container. And so what we've done, we do want to thank. I've had people call in and say, look, I'm not going to be home, but can, you know, I'll leave this here. Can you pick it up? And others have dropped things by, even though we may not have been at the office. And our congregation on Sunday night just came together, packed everything up, and we'll be bringing you an update. But even though the shipping date has passed, we're still burdened, if God laid upon your heart to help defray some of the shipping cost, if you would just make the check out to Merit Assembly of God, mark Ukraine or Save Ukraine Now on the bottom, and we would be more than glad to forward those monies on to them to help defray the shipping cost of the container. And so every penny that you send in will go out. There's no, you know, reapportioning or any of that sort of stuff. If you send in money for a designated project, it is going out for that project. And if So anyway, that's what's going on. What we did is there's another church down in Port St. Lucie. They are also collecting items. And so what we did is we processed all of ours. They were going to be short of a container load as well. And so what we did to make it more cost effective was to partner with them. And we took all of our items down, and we took all of our items down and partnered with them to help get those things out in a cost-effective manner. So praise the Lord. Thank you for your heart. Thank you for listening. We want to take you to the Word of God today. We've been talking about transforming sinkholes into skyscrapers, and really, really excited about that. We've been talking about laying the foundation and making sure that everything is going to be able to bear up under the weight or under the load that that God would have us to bring to His glory. So let me take you to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And it says there in verse number 44, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, "Have you understood all these things?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he said to them, "Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." The thing that transformed the skyline in New York City up until, I believe it was the late 1800s, the buildings there really were not very tall. They were four or five stories. I think five stories was the tallest building that there was in the city of New York City. And all of a sudden, there was a life insurance company who decided that the greater value was not in what was closest to the ground, but instead that they could shoot for heaven. And it kind of flipped everything on its head. Up until that time, everything that was close to the ground was the high rent area, but they decided that they were going to flip that entirely, and they were going to build a taller structure where they said the greater value was in the air than it was closer to the ground. Now, what I want to do is talk to you about building skyscrapers, because I believe that reaching for heaven is much more important than everything that we go through on earth. In fact, Paul said that the things that he went through were just light and momentary afflictions compared to the glory that was awaiting him. Now, I challenge you to look into the Word of God and see what Paul determined to be light and momentary afflictions, because those light and momentary afflictions weren't this person was upset at me, this person didn't talk to me, this person made a funny look at me. You know, no. Paul's light and momentary afflictions were being stoned, being beaten with rods, being thrown to wild beasts, being shunned, people trying to kill him, being shipwrecked multiple days in the water, being imprisoned, being persecuted, very, very serious, serious things. And he said, "But compared to the glory that God has for me, these are just light and momentary afflictions." We tend here in our here and now society to think that our most pressing needs are, you know, food, clothing, shelter, transportation, all of those sorts of things. And believe me when I say that those things are important. They are just not the most important. And so I want to challenge you to flip your value system on its head, and that you would do what it says in Matthew 6:33, and that is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And so that's where the greater value is. And so if you look at it here in verse number 44, it says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. First of all, I want to share two. I don't know what's going on with my throat this morning, but I want to share with you two perspectives on this verse. First of all, that Jesus has determined that you are of such great value that he laid aside all the glories in heaven, laid all of that down, came and took the form of a servant, went to the cross, which we're going to be celebrating his death, burial, and resurrection here in just a couple of weeks. He went through all of that to purchase my salvation and to purchase your salvation. To a large extent, we are that treasure that was hidden in the field. And so I thank God, because we would be hopeless without him. We would be lost without him. But he sees such tremendous value in you and me that he laid aside his glory. He laid aside his deity at that point in time. He emptied himself of all things so that he could come and purchase you and I. That's how much God values you. For those people who have told you that you are worthless, that you will never amount to anything, you've heard me say it on here before, those sorts of statements just indicate what kind of bad taste that they have. And so I just want to encourage you today. God has deemed you extremely value. And one of, our mission statement at Merit Assembly of God is restoring value spiritually and relationally. So that's the first perspective. The second perspective is if we flip that verse and we look at it from our situation, and we need to realize that there is nothing on earth that is more preeminent, of greater importance than Jesus Christ and him being our Lord and Savior. That needs to be our focus, where we look and say, you know what? That is the greatest value. And so it goes on and it says, verse number 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant who's seeking beautiful pearls, and who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. So do not let things that are of lesser value distract you from he which is your greatest value. Listen, there is no life apart from Jesus. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. He's not just the source of life, he is life. The reason that hell is going to be hell is because Jesus' presence is not going to be there. You're not going to be part. You're going to be separated from him. That's what death is. It is a separation. It is separation of life from a body, and eternal death is separation of our soul from the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So let me take you over to Luke, the 12th chapter and the 22nd verse, Luke 12:22. Then he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Listen, he's not saying that those things aren't important. He's saying that life is more important than that. It's more important than what you just bought at the department store. It's more important than what you just ate for dinner last night. It says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? God is going to take care of our daily needs. When we enter into covenant relationship with him, he expresses himself as Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He will provide himself for the sacrifice. He did that for Jesus, but he will also supply everything that you and I need for life and godliness. Verse number 29, and do not seek what you should eat and what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so he says that we are to provide ourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail. And so you and I today, I want to challenge you that if you want God to make you more than you are, that you and I, our focus should be to lift up our eyes and see that where nobody has gone before, God is able to take us, that he is able to take that which is deemed of little value right now and transform that into great value. Don't feel bad if somebody speaks ill about your faith or anything like that. You say, you know what? I am storing up treasures in heaven. It is going to pay unbelievable dividends. There was a man in our church, he since passed away. He was a very punny guy, and I said that on purpose. He just loved to tell puns, and every time we would have a work day or something like that, he said, now, Pastor, he was from Ireland, now, Pastor, I need to talk to you about the pay and the benefits. And I said, well, you know, to be honest with you, the pay is non-existent, but the benefits are out of this world. And the reality is that when we have set our sights on storing up treasure in heaven, we have just embraced that which is of the greatest and most preeminent value. And so God wants to build you up, but in order for him to do that, you and I've got to say, you know what, God, I'm going to get my eyes off of the temporal right now, and I'm going to set my sights on heaven, because you have tremendous value there. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. I want to talk to you about the father of faith right now. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, it says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So if God is going to build us up, he is going to build us up. It's got to have a foundation of forgiveness. It's got to have a foundation of love. We've got to recognize that our greatest value is towards God, not the things that are tied to this earth. This earth is not our home. Jesus said that he has a mansion prepared for you. Mansions over the hilltop is an old song that we used to sing. But also one of the elements is we've got to have faith in the architect of our life. You have got to trust God that when he calls you, when he asks you to do something, he's not asking you to go to your demise. Instead, he is asking you to reach for that which has the greatest value. I believe it was a missionary who was killed down in the Amazon. I believe his name was Jim Elliott. And he wrote down something like this. It says, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep for that which he could never lose. He is no fool who will give up that which he could never keep to gain that which he could never lose. And so I want to encourage you today that when God asks you to trust him and to walk in faith with him, you are not a fool. You are not a fool. And it says here, by faith, Abraham obeyed. If we are going to be a skyscraper, in fact, this coming Sunday, I want to share with you, I want to invite you to our church service. It's going to be Sunday morning at 10:30. I was in my devotions the other day, and all of a sudden I heard something, because right now I'm having to listen to my Bible during my devotions on audio. I was listening to it, and I was like, wow, did I just hear what I think I just heard? And I went back, and it said that. And folks, it is a word for America in 2015. So I want to encourage you, if you don't have a church, come visit with us this coming Sunday, and I'm going to be sharing a word. We do not have to duplicate the mistakes that other people have made in the past. We need to change course. So by faith, Abraham obeyed. So there, if we're going to be a skyscraper, there has to be obedience. I want to ask you to look at your life right now and invite the Holy Spirit and say, search me. God, search my heart. See if there be any unclean thing in me. See if there be any area of disobedience in my life. And if there is, God, would you correct that? Because I want to be like Abraham, and I want to obey. And when you call, I want to go. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance, he went out not knowing where he was going. And, you know, we generally don't like to do that too much. We like to have a plan, a purpose. You know, somebody says, what's your five-year plan? Let me tell you, if your five-year plan doesn't start with to be in exactly the spot that God has for me, then, you know, it might look like success to the world. But my five-year plan is to be obedient to what God has called me to do now and until that day. So he says he went out not knowing where he was going. In fact, I'll tell you this. Abraham's father had started the journey. It says that his father, Terah, had set out to go from Ur of the Chaldees, and he set out to go to Canaan, but he only got to a certain distance, and there he had a tragedy, and he stopped the journey. Let me just speak. I just feel like somebody needs to hear this right now. You may have become stationary in your faith. You may have become immobilized because of a personal tragedy, but don't let that deter you from getting to the destination that God has for you. God, when Terah stopped, God called out to Abraham and said, Abraham, I didn't call you just to go half the way. I intended for you to go all the way. I want you to trust me. I'm going to lead you to the place of your inheritance, but this is not that place. You and I, we have not reached our destination yet. We have not reached our greatest heights for the glory of God. So I want to encourage you today that if you've been sidetracked by disappointment or tragedy or trauma, that you would allow God to motivate you once again, that you will pick up and say, God, I am going to resume this journey of obedience and faith. It says, by faith, he dwelt in the land of promises in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise, for he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And so Abraham was content to dwell in a tent because he knew that he was going to a city, that God was the designer, the architect, the builder of it, and there was great value there. If you'll drop down to verse number 32, we're getting a little short on time here on today's broadcast. Verse number 32, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stop the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received the dead, their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with a sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Listen to this. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. All of those things that I just described, whether it was the great accomplishments of subduing kingdoms, of working righteousness, you know, overpowering lions, putting out fires, escaping the edge of the sword, whether it was something negative like being tortured or being mocked or scourged or imprisoned or stoned or sawn in two, or being left to walk around desolate, they, like Paul said, all of these things are light and momentary afflictions. And because of the God in whom I have faith, the God who I trust and the God I know, I shall do great exploits and I shall continue on. I will see miracles and signs and wonders. I will press on and I am going to build the kingdom of God, for he is my Savior and my Lord. It says this, the world was not worthy of them. The world was not worthy of them. Right now, there is such a tremendous push to get the world to accept the church. And I'm telling you, folks, that if we get to the place where the world is willing to say, okay, you are now worthy to be a part of us, that we have flipped the value on its head. We need to be standing out as beacons of light and saying, you know what? I'm not here after the fame. I'm not here after the gold. I'm not here after any of the possessions. I'm here to build the kingdom of God. And so today I pray that you would reach for the heavens, that you would realize that Jesus is the greatest value that you've got, and say, God, I'm willing to lay everything aside so that I can know you and to know you more. Father, today, I pray that if there's anybody listening today and they are clinging to habits of this life, addictions and strongholds, God, I pray today that we would be willing to surrender all of that so that we might know Jesus and the fellowship of his sufferings and the power of his resurrection. God bless you. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.